let us rise as we are able in body or in spirit to call ourselves into an attitude of worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. We long to be where you are, to stand in your very presence and to behold you face to face. And so we have come to this place today. We have gathered together to worship our God, to offer the praise which belongs to God alone. Bless us as we worship you together, and as we open our hearts and mind to your presence among us. For you alone are God, the one in whom we trust. Amen. Let us please now sing "Just As I Am" without one plea, number 370. My friends, even before we admit our wrongs, God promises to hear us with mercy. Therefore, let everyone call on the name of the Lord, saying, "Our sin has caught up with us, Lord. We have turned away from you and sinned against you again and again." We offer our confession to you, O God. We lay our sins before you for the sake of your reputation. Do not abandon us. Remember your people and do not break your covenant with us. Amen. The Lord who created you says, "You are my witnesses, O Israel, and you are my servant. You have chosen to know me, believe in me, and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been and never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. So do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Amen. That we belong to God through Jesus Christ fills us with joy and hope. So let us share this great love with all we meet. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Please share that with a nod or a wave. Shall we pray? O Lord, open our ears to thy word, open our hearts to thy ministrations, open our lives that we may, having heard your message, serve you out into the world with the love that you have given us. Amen. The first reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. We are moving forward, and today we are going to hear from chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, and I invite you to join me starting at verse 9. Jesus told this parable to certain people who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and who looked on everyone else with disgust. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words: God, I thank you that I'm not like everyone else, crooks and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look toward heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, God, show mercy to me, a sinner. I tell you, this person went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are no little ones in here today, so I would invite the choir or the singer to come forward and offer us musical blessings. Go ahead.
Good morning. The reading today is from Joel chapter 2, verses 23 to 32. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it is on page 848 in the Old Testament. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. This reading from Joel today has a lot of information to break down. First, we need some context behind the scripture. Israel was ruled by the Persians at this time and lived in relative peace. This is until Israel is swarmed by a plague of locusts. The beginning of Joel talks about the destruction of Israel and its people due to the degradation of the Israelite society and their turning from God. Joel says that if the Israelites continue on the path they're on, Israel will be destroyed by many other nations. There are a lot of parallels already to be noted between the Israelites 2,500 years ago and our way of living today. We may not face the same threats as a nation today as Israel did back then, but our society has been straying further and further from God for a long time. In recent years, Gallup polls have shown a decline in church attendance across the country. Joel does not only talk about the destruction of Israel, but he also offers a road to salvation for the Israelites. How did the Israelites end up like this in the first place? Why was Israel plagued by locusts? And how can we as a nation avoid the same fate? The Bible that I read from and did my research from is the NRSV Student Bible, the guidebook. At the beginning of each book, the guidebook offers a quick summary of the book and details surrounding the writing of it at the time it was written. It states at the beginning of Joel that the Israelites were living in peacetime and were awaiting the coming of a Messiah. It also states that the book of Joel was believed to have been written in 538 BC, after the end of the Babylonian exile. The Babylonian exile took place between 607 to 586 BC. During this time, the Jews were held captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, Israel was destroyed, many Jews were killed, and the Jewish temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. As prophesied in Scripture, the Jewish people would be allowed to return to Jerusalem after 70 years of exile. The Babylonians had fallen to the army of Persia in 539 BC. The Jews were allowed by King Cyrus of Persia to return to Israel and begin rebuilding the city and temple, which they did. And all was good in Israel again. The city and temple were rebuilt, and the people were enjoying a time of peace they hadn't experienced in 70 years. The people of Israel had become complacent and started to turn from God. The Israelites hadn't even been freed for very long before they started to disobey God again. And this wasn't the first time either. The Babylonians had taken control of Israel for 70 years because the Israelites had turned from God. God had just freed them from slavery, and the Israelites were already disobeying. How many people today are complacent? Something I've learned from the Army and from the Police Academy so far is that complacency is very dangerous. In either of those jobs, becoming complacent will put you in very bad situations. You must always be on alert and ready for anything at any time. As a society, we have become so complacent with having things. We take for granted our rights and all the conveniences we enjoy. After so long of enjoying these privileges, we forget that they are privileges and that there are billions of people who don't enjoy them. We forget about the thousands of people who had to die for us to live the privileged lives we live. Our society has deteriorated from what it once was, similar to the Israelites. We've gotten used to never having to worry about having food or a home or our safety. We take what God has given us for granted. And as we have become complacent, we have lost sight and we have turned from God. We've distracted ourselves from what our purpose really is, to serve God. The Israelites did too, and they suffered plagues of locusts and famine for it. Their economy was destroyed, their crops were eaten, and the nation was on a verge of collapse. This is when Joel comes in. Joel warns the people of Israel to repent and turn to God. He tells them to be glad, for God has been good to them. You may be wondering how God has been good to them when they're barely surviving a plague of locusts. This passage at first glance looks like God is being wrathful to the Israelites. When you look at the context surrounding this incident, God has saved the Israelites numerous times after they defied him and his warnings. Still, he is offering salvation to those who repent. A God that continues to forgive us after we mess up over and over. It sounds to me like God has given the Israelites and us way more than we really deserve. Not only does God offer salvation, he says he will repay them for the years of destruction that they endured. God says in verse 28 and 29 that he will pour out his spirit to all, even the slaves in those days. He is telling us that his grace is for everyone. We just have to accept him. God promises never to allow his people to be put to shame again. He tells us that there will be signs before his return to earth. Verses 30 and 31 state, I will show portents in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. The great and terrible day. How can something be great and terrible at the same time? Wouldn't the coming of the Lord again just be great? Well, if we read further, we find out just who that day will be great for, and we find out who that day will be terrible for. Verse 32 says that those who call on the Lord shall be saved. Those who have turned to the Lord will find that the day the Lord returns will be a great day. Moving into chapter 3 of Joel, God talks about the judgment of those who have been against his people. Chapter 3, starting at verse 2, says, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations. Those who have not turned to the Lord will find on the day the Lord returns that it will be a terrible day. This is an urgent message to turn to the Lord. No one can withstand judgment without having accepted Christ in their life. This is a major recurring theme in the Bible. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 14, 6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also.'" There are plenty of verses of Scripture that can be quoted repeating the same narrative. It is the thesis of the entire New Testament. The word testament can be interchanged with the word covenant, meaning promise or deal. The Old and New Testaments are a deal between God and all of his people. The deal that is the Old Testament is that God's people needed to live by God's rules to be saved. The New Testament deal, however, is that if we believe in his son Jesus and spread his word, we might be saved. We must hold up our end of the deal. No human can live without sinning. The book of Joel tells us that we need to repent, and it also tells us that judgment will come. And how many of us, when being judged by the Lord, will be able to defend all of the wrongdoing and sinfulness that we've taken part in this life? The answer is no one. Not one person would make it to the kingdom of heaven without Christ. No one knows when that day will come either. That is why it is important for us to turn to Christ and urge others to do as well, so that the day that the Lord returns will be a great day and not a terrible one. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 339, "Be Thou My Vision."
Oh,
The Nicene Creed is actually an earlier creed than the Apostles' Creed. It is actually printed, too, on page 15 of our hymnal, not 14 as listed, which is immediately before "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," at the front. There are two versions presented, an ecumenical and a traditional one. I invite you to share your faith with one another and with God using the traditional words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again from, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Shall we pray together? O good and gracious God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you bless our lives, the beauty and abundance of nature, the love of family and friends, the joy of knowing you and hearing your word. O holy God, you promise to hear us when we pray, and shower us with unexpected blessings. You relieve our sufferings and fill us with good things. When we feel challenges that threaten to overcome us, you give us strength. With grateful hearts, we entrust our cares and concerns to you. Hear us now as we pray for an end to violence between countries, especially those living under a heavy barrage of drone attacks in Ukraine. We pray, too, for those who are at war with one another in Somalia. We pray you will quell distrust and disagreement veering on violence within nations, on our streets, and in our homes. Help their leaders come to peaceable solutions to those discords which divide their peoples, so your peace might rule in hearts of young and old alike. We pray for those who feel uncertain about the future or who live in fear. We pray for the people of the United Kingdom who face more unknowns about their future, and for women who live under the daily pressures of Sharia law in their countries, as well as those who fear violence in their homes and workplaces. We pray for those who are victims of natural disasters or who suffer from forces beyond their control. We pray for those who fear living under rules designed for the common good, so avoid taking refuge when they have no home. We pray that you will guard them as they shelter beneath church stairwells or under shrubs on hillsides and anywhere in the open. We pray, too, that you will lead them to safety and to a place where they can be warm at night and come to find that you are truly their God and are caring for them. Indeed, we pray for all who have lost their way, in any sense of the phrase, and who live under the clouds of misery and separation from people they once loved and who still love them. For those who are ill, are weak, or dying, and for their families, we pray. We especially lift up Dave and Pat, as well as those we name silently in our hearts now. Lord, you have poured out your Spirit on all humankind. You have promised that our sons and daughters shall prophesy the hope for the future of the world and of your body, the church. Help our old men and women to dream dreams. Help our children and grandchildren to see the visions of the new life you offer us through Jesus Christ. Gather up our prayers, O God, as well as those we did not know to pray, and make us ever more faithful as we lean into your coming reign of peace, wholeness, justice, and love. O Lord, hear us now. Hear us now as your bold children we voice the words of our light and our hope, Jesus the Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand and join me in singing the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, which is the insert that you were given for today.
Let us pray. As we go forward through this week and through life, help us keep our focus on you, Lord. It is too easy for us to go home and become complacent and go through the motions. Help us to remember you, Lord, and our actions and our decisions, so we don't lose sight of your mission for us, to spread the news of your Son. Now go in the name of the Lord to share the good news to everyone you meet.
And go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us together goes with you each and every day. Amen and amen.